All right, good morning. We're going to get into episode 20. Can you believe it? Going to be talking a little bit about Joshua. This is going to be a slightly different message. We're going to be going to the New Testament a little bit. And if you have, there's a blue sheet in your bulletin. You can follow along, take notes if you need to, if you want to. In this one, there are a number of applications, so get ready. So one of the things with the applications, I would encourage you. We're trying to give a bunch of them out, but pick one. Take one and say, all right, Lord, what am I going to do with this one? And then work on that one. And like, not just for like a couple of days or a week, but like, keep working on it. But again, you don't have to try and do all of these because it's, you know, that would be kind of tough. So just want to encourage you that with this message, it's going to challenge you as well because it has to do with listening. And it has to do, I titled this The Crisis, and this crisis is nothing new, but it has to do with listening, and we're people. So we're going to struggle with that. So if you would, let's pray before we dig into this. And we're going to be flying through a bunch of different scripture, and it'd just be good to be ready for that. So Lord, we just thank you for this time we have together. We can come, continue to worship you, and enjoy the fellowship that we have with you and with each other. And Lord, I just pray as we open up your word and we look into the crisis that we have, what are we going to do about it individually? What are we going to do about it? What will we do as a church in listening to you in those next steps that you have for us? And so, Lord, I just pray that we'd be ready to hear what you have for us today. I give you thanks. I give you praise because you alone are worthy. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if you've ever been in this situation where you come into a classroom and the teacher starts to talk, except he's talking very softly. It's hard to hear him. So you have to be really quiet and you have to listen. So imagine if I preached like this for this. I don't even know if I could do that. But imagine if someone, the teacher, was talking in a whisper, speaking softly. You had to strain to listen to what they're saying. It's annoying, and quite frankly, it'd probably be difficult. And probably what would happen is you would blow it off, and you'd just be like, pull out your phone, or you'd start to doodle, or, you know, look out the window. I mean, these aren't great windows to look out, but you can look at them. But basically, you would give up trying to hear what they have to say. But then the teacher leans in a little bit and says, hey, what I'm speaking about, you need to know because it's going to be on the final exam. And if you fail the final exam, well, you fail the course. Well, I have a feeling there'd be a change in the room. All of a sudden, you start to be like, you know, phones get put away. Everybody kind of leans in. Now all of a sudden you're like, we're trying to listen still because he's still speaking softly. But you'd be interested. You'd be willing to listen. Because why? You're going to be held accountable for what he's saying. So stakes are high, and we need to listen. So I'm not going to do that to you, but I just want you to think about this, is that we as people have a listening problem. Not just when someone's talking softly, but can be all the time. So think of it this way. God has spoken, and he has spoken clearly in his word, but so often we treat his voice like a whispering teacher. We blow it off because it takes effort to listen. But make no mistake, we are accountable. So if we're going to be looking at some scripture, and this theme of hearing is dominant from the time from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And we're only going to be looking at some of those passages in Joshua, but we have seen the problem with listening. Even in, you know, and again, we're just in Joshua. Jesus says this in Matthew 13:9. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In fact, seven times in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit warns the churches. He says, "Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Our issue today is the exact same issue humanity has faced since the dawn of time. Our issue is listening. In fact, if we are being completely honest and candid, we should call it what it really is. It's rebellion. I do it, you do it. Because at the end of the day, we are listening to someone. And the ultimate question we have to answer is this, and it's pretty simple. Who are you listening to? And I would also put it, are we listening to God or are we listening to Satan? Are we listening to the world? See, we are in this crisis of listening. So point number one, again, if you're following along, it's on the blue sheet. But I believe that people are people. And there is a history of hard hearing or being hard of hearing. So let's look at scripture. Because history shows us that people are people. We haven't changed one bit. God has always spoken. The problem is always listening. So I have a simple definition for you. Hearing is you hear my voice. Listening is you are paying attention, you're learning, and you're wanting to apply it. So we'll just keep it simple. So it's incredibly easy for us in church to look back at the people in the Bible and judge them. We read their stories and think, how could they be so dense? How does this happen? We'll see some of that. Think of it. Take Adam and Eve in Genesis, in the garden. They had the perfect environment, perfect communion with God, and exactly one negative command. God spoke it clearly. But they chose to listen to the whisper of the serpent instead. And what happened the moment God confronted them? Did they own it? Nope. They shifted the blame. Adam blamed Eve, which, by the way, is subtly blaming God because, you know, God gave Eve to Adam. And Eve blamed the serpent. And they refused to be responsible because they refused to listen. Look at Abraham. God promised him a son, but instead of waiting and listening to God's timeline, he listened to human logic and the culture, leading to decades of family strife for him with Ishmael and Isaac. And if you think about it, what is still happening in the Middle East today is directly affected because of Ishmael and Isaac. Look at Moses and the wilderness generation. Moses practically begged the people to listen. In the book of Deuteronomy alone, the plea is constant. Deuteronomy 1:43, he says this, Moses has to recount their failure, saying, I spoke to you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the command of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:1 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, the statutes of the Lord and his judgments. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Again, this idea of hearing what God has said. So here's one of the applications for you, because when we, you and I, fail to listen to God and mess up, our human nature acts exactly like Adam and Eve's. We shift the blame of our upbringing, our spouse, our stressful job, our financial situation. 100 things, but not us, not me. So let's be aware that that is exactly what our nature is, to shift the blame to someone or something else. So the challenge, one of the challenges for you, when you sense the Holy Spirit convicting you about an area of disobedience, do not pass the buck. Stop and pray. Lord, I am not going to blame shift. I am responsible for what I heard and I repent. See, because true listening begins with personal ownership. I need to own it. Think of it, for 40 years, the wilderness generation struggled to hear God over the noise of their own complaints. But a shift was coming. God was about to raise up a generation that would listen, and it started with an incredible relationship between a mentor and a student. We talked a little bit about this with Moses and Joshua, but that the torch is passed from Moses to Joshua. It's no coincidence that God chose Joshua to lead Israel following Moses' death, something we deeply need in the body of Christ today. We've talked about it before, because of we need to develop a culture of mentorship. Having someone who helps us grow in the faith and being willing to pass the torch to that next generation. So that's a two-way street, right? Not only do you have to have people who are willing to be there to guide, but you also need to be, you know, are you willing to be a student? Are you willing to actually move into that kind of relationship? In the book of Joshua, do you remember the Hebrew word from last week's sermon? It was haggah, which means to chew, to ruminate, to think through. So that was that last week. This week's Hebrew word for hear or to listen is shama. It appears many times and is used a few times even in the book of Joshua. Here are a few of those times. Joshua 3:9. Before the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commands the people, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. In Joshua 23, verse 2, it says, during his first farewell address, and that's what I think is interesting, he doesn't have one, he has two. Joshua gathers the elders and the leaders of Israel and tells them, I am old and well advanced in years. Listen to all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. Joshua 24:2, in his final speech at Shechem, that's a place, Joshua begins his covenant renewal address by saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. He called the tribes together for them to listen to him. Sometimes the action of listening uses a synonym like hear or hearken or listening, but it's 33 times just in the book of Joshua. And there are three primary contexts for it. So Israel listening to God and to Joshua, it happens 16 times. Joshua routinely calls the people to hear the words of the Lord and later gathers them at his farewell address. We looked at those. God listening to Israel is another place. He does that two times. God listening to the human requests, most famously to Joshua, when Joshua asked God to stop the sun from moving. In other words, to keep the sun out, so while they were conquering their foes, the daylight, they would be doing it in the daylight. Joshua 10:14. And then Israel listening to each other and the other nations. Those remaining instances, 15 times, refer to the Israelites listening to the leaders, their commanders, or the reports from the nations. In the book of Joshua, Israel expresses their commitment to obeying God and following Joshua's leadership during two pivotal moments. When they prepare to enter into the promised land, that's one of the times. And then the other time is at the end of Joshua's life during that covenant renewal time. And we'll get into that a little bit more next week in chapters 23 and 24. But these verses highlight the obedience and the willingness to listen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, before they cross the Jordan River. So again, God parts the river again, another different river. So there's a second river crossing. The tribes of Israel pledge their allegiance to Joshua, promising to go wherever he sends them and to do whatever he commands, just as they obeyed Moses. And again, Joshua 24, verse 16 and 18 in the farewell address, Joshua challenges the nation to choose who they will serve. And the people respond, declaring they will serve the Lord, recounting the miracles he performed to deliver them from Egypt. And again, at the very end of Joshua, when Joshua warns them that serving a holy God requires absolute devotion, the people affirm their commitment by stating, "The Lord, our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey." That's what they said. And one of those things, as we, let's take it into today, mentoring in the church, and in that, it's needed. It's so needed. Paul does that with Timothy and Titus. 2 Timothy 1:5, where Paul highlights the sincere faith that lived first in Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, two women who prepared Timothy, who laid the foundation of his faith. After becoming a believer, when Timothy became a believer, they were the ones who laid that foundation. After, for myself, let's take it into for me, it was when I became a believer, I had a few men from the church that I was attending who started to basically build me up, to build that foundation. And I was blessed to have a number of people, a number of men who were willing to invest in me and mentor me. And their guidance was an investment in my walk with God. We need to do that in the church as well. Go back to Joshua and Moses. That's what Moses was doing with Joshua. Numbers 11:28 tells us that Joshua attended to Moses from his youth. Think about that. For decades, Joshua was Moses' shadow. We talked a little bit about that last week. He saw Moses' character up close. He watched how Moses handled crisis, how he prayed, how he repented. See, Joshua was a sponge and listening to the wisdom that Moses imparted. God took Joshua's life and shaped it through his mentor, Moses. In Numbers 20:27, God bestows Moses' authority onto Joshua. He passes the torch. Deuteronomy 34:9, we see the beautiful fruit of this mentorship. Let me read this to you. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him." That means he passed the torch to him publicly so that the children of Israel would listen to him. Again, back to 2 Timothy 2:2 for us in the church. The power of 2 Timothy 2:2 is It's not only just we keep all this information to ourselves, but we need to give it to others. We need to pass it to others. And in that verse, it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, this is what Paul is saying, commit these to faithful men, Timothy and Titus. Commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Keep passing it. Keep working at it. See, you cannot learn to listen to God in total isolation. God designed us to learn how to tune our ears to Him by watching others who have walked the path before us. So I have a challenge for you. Find a Moses. Are you willing to be a student? Find a Moses. Are you willing to be a Moses? So two parts of that. If you're new to the faith, young in the faith, or an adult in the faith, we all need that next step. What is that next part that we can continue to grow? We all need to be learners. You need to find that Moses. Kind of look around the room. Look for a brother or sister in Christ that you can grab coffee with and spend time with and help to have them help you discern God's voice. And if you're that older, mature believer, and again, this is kind of, hopefully it hits you right in the middle of your head, but don't take the decades of listening to God to your grave. Share that with other people. Pour into someone else. Find that Joshua that you can actively cheer them on, mentor them, and pass that torch. So think of it, as long as Joshua lived, the people followed. That is a key statement. They listened to Joshua because Joshua listened to God. Under his leadership, the walls of Jericho fell, the Jordan River parted, and the enemy nations were conquered. See, our words matter. And Israel's words under Joshua were words of humility and obedience. And that is key. While Joshua was alive, but what happens when the listening stops? So this is point number three, the danger of the silent generation. This is the book Judges. Start to move into a challenging time for them. And we have the written interaction between God and Joshua and the nation of Israel. We see the heights they reached when they listened, but we also know that what happened right after Joshua died. That's the book of Judges. And we haven't gotten there yet, but we will see the devastating outcome of what happens when a generation stops listening to God and stops passing the torch. And again, has anybody ever gone through the book of Judges? Like semi-recently? It's intense. Like intense. We'll get into that a little bit. You will certainly be surprised when you go, wow, that's actually in the Bible? Really? But there are some details of a horrific downward spiral, a difficult spiritual spiral because they stopped listening. And again, Joshua 24 ends with the people promising to serve God. And just a few chapters into the book of Judges, the Bible says a generation arose that did not know the Lord or know what he had done. The listening stopped. The words of faith had ceased. The outcome was not good. Israel fell into a cycle of sin and bondage and crying out for help and deliverance from God and then falling right back into sin. And that's the whole book of Judges. And we'll see that throughout as we go through the rest of these chapters. Why? Because they stopped tuning their ears to the voice of their creator and started listening to the culture around them. The book of Judges happened because one generation failed to talk about God to the next generation. Our words matter. What about your kids, your grandkids, your friends? What do they hear coming out of your mouth? Are they hearing the promises of God, or are they only hearing about the anxiety and the anger and the gossip of the world? One of the things that we need to do is we need to guard what comes into our homes. This is particularly for those parents. So think about, what is the soundtrack in your home? If your home went completely silent, would the only things echoing back be the television or the news or the social media stuff? So we need to intentionally inject God's word into the conversation with your family. Talk about what God is teaching you at the dinner table. Do not let the listening stop under your roof. Because if it stops there, it's going to be a whole lot harder getting it from somewhere else or just getting it once a week on Sunday. Think about it, New Buffalo. We'll get there with Judges, but the tragedy that is there. And again, we think of it like, how did they lose it so fast? Back to our definitions. Hearing. You hear my voice. Listening. You're paying attention. You're learning. You're wanting to apply it. And I would also add, it's a matter of the heart. Is our heart, are we in our heart and mind wanting to listen? Which brings us to the teachings of Jesus, who gave a parable about faulty hearing. So point number four is, check your ears. How do you listen? Matthew chapter 13, you can go over there if you'd like. Matthew 13, verse 9 to 22, Jesus gives a parable of the sower, which is fundamentally a teaching on faulty hearing. The sower throws the exact same seed, which is the word of God, onto four different types of soil. The seed doesn't change. The voice of the speaker doesn't change. The X factor, if you will, the only variable of the condition is the ground, and that is the condition of the heart. Matthew 13, 13, Jesus gives the key diagnosis of the crowd. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus is telling us that it is entirely possible to sit in church, hear a sermon, read your Bible app, and completely miss God. See, some of us have a hard path hearing. The word hits the surface, but our hearts are so hardened by cynicism or bitterness that Satan immediately snatches it away. Some of us have shallow, rocky hearing. We get emotional and get excited on Sunday, but the moment trouble and persecution hits on Monday, we wither because we don't have that root system developed. We don't have those other people in our lives that are helping us and encouraging us. Some of us have thorny hearing. We listen, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is why the gospel writers give a strict warning about our spiritual intake, what we are listening to. Mark 4:24 says, be careful what you hear. Think of it. Watch out for the voices, the media, the philosophies you allow into your mind. Watch out. Luke 8:18 says, be careful how you listen. See, part of this has to do with our motives. And if we are not humble in approaching God's truth, are we really listening? Colossians 2:8, and this whole chapter in Colossians 2 is great. But this particular place in verse 8 says, don't let anyone lead you astray. There's an exclamation point there, an emphasis there. Do not let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world. Instead, listen to Christ. I mean, boom. We need to become better listeners to the Holy Spirit and to God's word. That's that 1-2 punch. We need to listen carefully so that our lives may be fundamentally affected by what we hear, allowing the message to help us become more spiritually fruitful and to affect our heart and mind. I want you to think of it, and we're going into the worship and grow part, taking these things, what we have heard, how do we apply it? And again, a few more things to apply. But I want you to think about this. To whom will you listen? So as we close this morning, let's bring it all back to that foundation of our faith. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10:17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He reminds us in verses 9 and 13 and 14 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we will be saved. But then he asks the ultimate question, how can they, someone outside the church, how can they call on him if they haven't believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? See, listening changes destinations. One of the questions that I like to ask someone if they're struggling or if they're wanting to know more about Christ is, if what I told you were different than what you believe, would you want to know it? That's an interesting question. Think about that. If what you believe were not true, there's another way of saying, if what you believe were not true, would you want to know it? See, debating, in my opinion, debating doesn't really go very far. Most people know which side they're on the debate. But you really want to cut to the heart of it. Is the Holy Spirit working in someone's life? If what you believe were not true, would you want to know it? You get an answer. See, because listening alters their eternity. So we need to listen. But again, to whom are you listening to? Are you preparing yourself? And again, are you listening to the voice of the accuser who tells you that you aren't good enough, that your past defines you, and that you should just shift the blame like Adam and Eve did? Don't take responsibility for it. Or are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, guides us into all truth, and reminds us of the finished work of Jesus Christ? What he did on the cross, and the hope that we have that one day he is coming back. Think of it, like the student sitting in the quiet classroom, the stakes are too high to blow this off. We are accountable for what we do with the voice of God. Here's some other suggestions for you, some other things. Maybe if you want to call it a listening plan for Monday, great, or do it later today. Because God says he wants us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. So here are three additional things. So number one, the first 15 minutes. I don't know if I like the word rule, don't go with rule, but when you get up, before you turn on the news, before you open your emails, or better, check your phone, give God the first 15 minutes of your day. Give him your attention. Sit with him, with his word. Let his voice be the first voice that sets the trajectory of your day. And then start to learn to be consistent with it. Number two, another one. Practice the pause. When someone prompts you to engage in gossip or complaining or blame shifting this week, remember that your words matter. Pause. Turn your heart toward the Holy Spirit and choose to speak words of faith and life, just like Joshua and Caleb did, if you remember when we were talking about them. Be like that. Last one. Create a place where you can go and be in silence. And I know this is difficult, especially if you have little kids. That's not always an easy thing to do. But maybe you can find some time. Maybe you go into the bathroom. That could be a good place. Could you shut the door, lock the door? And then they'll start knocking on it. But maybe you can get a few minutes where you can just be in silence without the screens, without the music, without the kids. Think of it how Samuel was. And he was encouraged to listen to the voice of God in a generation that was not listening to God. He said to God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." See, give the Holy Spirit some space to whisper to you. Let us be a generation like Joshua. Let us lean in and strain our ears so we can hear and not just hear the noise of the world, but instead recognize the love of God and his desire for that relationship with us. Remember, He is in pursuit of us. Let us say as Samuel did in 1 Samuel 3, 9 and 10, this is that where he is encouraged to do this. He says, again, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So let's pray. And I believe Steve is going to be coming up and doing a final hymn with us. So let's pray as he's coming up.